Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. I'm joined today by WNYC contributors Joanne Littman and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. Well, this week, we stumbled on a moment about the role of women in America. Both the Republican and Democratic conventions featured conventional visions of women, especially in the speeches given by the candidates' wives. Ann Romney and Michelle Obama gave what were described as great speeches. The delegates loved it. The pundits were very pleased with what they said. But they made themselves out to be moms in chief. And Rana, it's true that the Obama household was a little turned on its head. You know, when Barack and Michelle met, she was the high-powered attorney. He was the community activist, the organizer, the summer associate. So why didn't we hear in her speech a little bit more about her business credentials?
Well, I think that Michelle Obama was not there giving that speech because she was an incredibly successful hospital executive, which, of course, she had been. She was there because she's the first lady. She was being appropriate for that role. I don't think it diminishes her professional qualifications at all that she didn't mention them. I don't think we needed to hear them in that context.
So, Joanne, Rana makes the argument that that wasn't the place for that kind of discussion. But where is the place for that discussion? I mean, it didn't seem like at the conventions we were really hearing much about women in the workplace and the issues that they face.
You know, absolutely right. And what's so interesting is there was quite a bit of conversation about women in the workplace and about the gender gap, the pay gap. There was a speech by Lilly Ledbetter, for whom the Fair Pay Act is named, but you didn't hear much about it. The decision was made that the mom message is what we would all be hearing. Beyond that, very interesting, there was very little coverage by the media. And, you know, one reason is, frankly, there's still a gender gap in the media where you've got men and women covering the issues, but the men generally are still the ones who are either making the call or just drowning out the women, talking louder. They banging on the table and talking louder and bringing their own issues to the table. And reproductive rights seem to be a much more passionate interest.
Well, when it comes to women's issues and trying to get the women vote, that's what we often hear about is these reproductive issues. We're not hearing things about like the pay gap, that there are still some reports out there that estimate women make about 77% of what men do. After all these years, we still haven't narrowed the gap. So, Rana, when are we going to hear those sorts of conversations?
Well, I think another reason that you didn't hear them this time around is that the Democrats really can't make political hay with them. The fact is that one of the reasons that women have not done well in the last couple of years is because of public sector budget cuts. Women hold a much higher percentage of civil service jobs. They're teachers, they're nurses. So that's a problem. That said, I think that there were really key differences between Ann Romney's speech and Michelle Obama's. I think Michelle was sketching a vision, as Bill Clinton did, of what kind of country do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a country in which we help each other, aka a country in which the government and the public sector is larger? That actually helps women. And so I think that was a very pro-female message.
So if we want to look at a world where there's greater parity, does that mean, especially with cuts to public sector, that there needs to be legislation and other ways to try and make sure that in the private sector, Joanne, that we're seeing more equality?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, if you look just this week in Brussels, there was a proposal made that 40% of all boards in the European Union should be female, 40% female. Now, quotas generally don't work.
I can't imagine something like that working here to tell companies you have to have this
but
amount.
On the other hand, look at how poor the numbers are in the United States, and it remains a huge issue. If you look at the number of female CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, it's 19, which is 3.8%. If you look at the number of female board members, it's been stagnant at 15%, and those numbers just aren't moving.
So does this say, though, that we're uncomfortable with women in charge in a way, that if all the discussion is about reproductive rights and not sort of women, their place in the workplace, their economic strength, is this saying we still have some questions about their leadership? We just want to focus on the being a mother?
I don't think that that's true. And I think that quotas really aren't going to work. They haven't worked in Europe. They've been there in the political sphere for a long time, but they haven't translated into the boardroom. I don't think they're going to here, but I think we're already seeing an economic sea change. The fact is that women are going to make the majority of the world's new earned income in the next 10 years, both because the pay gap is slowly but surely shrinking, but also because outside of the U.S., women are taking on the majority of new jobs that are being created because of changes in the global economy. I also think that you're already seeing progress. Women who don't have children, who are in their 20s and have a high level of education, actually out-earn their male peers in a lot of urban areas. So I think the shift is happening.
I want to push back on that a little bit, though, because this is an issue that we have seen for years and years where, you know, women now make up half of the workforce and women are getting more college degrees. For many years, we've been hearing that things will change as women move up to the top. And so I don't see the sea change that you're talking about. I don't see it coming.
Well, finally, let's take a look ahead to some of the stories that we're following. With me once again are WNYC contributors Joanne Lippman and Rana Fruhar of Time Magazine. Rana, what are you looking at?
So I'm thinking a lot about the elections, as is everyone, in particular what the prediction markets say about Obama's chance of reelection. Because when you look at some of these prediction markets, these are online markets where you can go and place bets on news events, you see that as Obama's chances, as people feel that Obama's chances of re-election are rising, the S&P starts to go up. Now, there could be a number of reasons for this. One might be that the markets find it reassuring, the idea of having an incumbent in charge. It could just be that general good news in the economy is bolstering both prospects. But I think it's very interesting that those two things are correlated.
Joanne?
I'm looking at the iPhone 5 coming out next Wednesday. And what's so interesting is that it's supposed to be the big seller for the holiday season. It comes on the heels of the new Nokia, the new Motorola phones. There's going to be some other introductions. Amazon Kindle came out with its new version on Thursday. What all of these devices will be is will give us some sense of how retail sales are going to be doing going into the holiday season, and that'll give us a sense of whether we're really in an economic turnaround or not.
Well, we'll be watching all those stories and the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.